And you know, so I got the Bakersfield TCU game on, and
we've got the team of the people.
We're recording something here, aren't we?
Maybe, I don't know. This is our what is this? That we don't really know. See, starting on a Tuesday kind of threw off our whole routine. So what are we calling this? The Hoops HD Report Under the Radar Show?
Well, it's Wednesday night, which means we record under the radar, but there's been one night of games and not much to talk about.
Other than the one night of games. Yeah.
And most of the good games weren't even under the radar. So why are we even recording anything, David?
I don't know. It's been, anyway, it's been a good show, though.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Sleeka's here with us, too. Sleeka, go ahead. You're hosting.
All right. You're doing so much better than what Chad typically does. Great job, Sleeka. Just sitting there in silence. Wow. What a train wreck. This is the biggest train wreck of a show we've ever had. Don't you dare start it over. We're leaving it just the way it is.
We were going to have a big night tonight. A good friend, Rocco from Bracketeer.org, was going to be coming to us live from the St. Mary's game, but he apparently got caught in traffic.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
That would have been better than what we've got. Rocco stuck in traffic. I think people would have rather watched that. That would have made the I forgot he was going to be coming at us.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Why don't we talk about some of the stuff that did happen on opening night? And here on Wednesday night, we'll go and do a little previews of what's coming up in the next week across both the power conferences and the under the radar. And then we'll go watch some games or drink some whiskey or something.
It sounds good to me.
All right. Well, the big games last night were a complete disaster, I thought, in terms of the excitement of the games. I know in the first one, the Michigan State-Kansas game, Michigan State made a big run late and cut it to three, but Kansas looked pretty impressive, first of all, in that game.
They did, and a real good showing by Kansas, and I think that's kind of what we were expecting. They kept Michigan State at arm's length or greater for most of the game. Michigan State, to their credit, did hang around, did get back and make it exciting in the final minute. But at no point, for 39 minutes, it didn't really feel like Kansas was in any danger of losing the game. And even in the final minute, it didn't feel that way either. Again, opening night, I don't think it's necessarily where either team is going to end up. I think Michigan State will continue to improve. It's certainly not a bad loss, but that's – even though on opening night, and you know this, like from looking at team sheets, that's going to be right up there at the top of it is one of the bigger wins, even though it was the first night.
But unlike the nightcap, at least Michigan State did make that game interesting. I think as the puppet noted, Kentucky and Duke, for example, tipped off and game over.
And, yeah. I mean, David, you know, normally when you get a team full of freshmen, it takes until, you know, February until the team starts to come together. This Duke team looked ready for the NCAA tournament on opening night with a team full of freshmen.
They did. I was really impressed. Having watched them a little bit in their exhibition game, I was shocked that they – not that they won, but that they just blew Kentucky's doors off. As Stalika said, Kentucky won the opening tip and didn't win anything for the next 40 minutes. The other thing that Kentucky needs to work on, and I think they will, they're also pretty young, is just – they're weak in the front court. Did you notice that? And even sort of against Indiana PA, they were a little bit weak in the front court. But Duke really exposed that. Duke shot the ball exceptionally well. It got so bad that I changed the station. It was a 30-point game. Not at all what most people were expecting. I expect Kentucky to get better. We've seen it before. I believe it was 3 years ago, or maybe it was 2 years ago, when we had not an opening night game, but a very early season neutral floor game between Villanova and Oklahoma, where Villanova just got blown out of the place, and they rebounded quite nicely. So they actually won it all that year. So I think that this is something that isn't exactly going to linger for very long if Kentucky continues to improve. But holy crap, did they get run over last night.
I tell you, I'd love to be in the Kentucky practices this week because just watching Calipari, you know, just try to drill these kids and say, hey, listen, okay, you had your you obviously thought you heard the hype. You thought you're going to be the number one team in the nation or the number two team in the nation. You got your asses kicked. Time to start getting serious about the game.
Yeah.
But it's also worthy to point out that in Calipari's distinguished distinguished career going back to 1991. That is the single worst loss, even with his time with the New Jersey Nets. I don't think they ever lost by as many as 34 points.
That's kind of remarkable because UMass was really bad when he got there.
Well, there was a third game that we thought was kind of like the third best game of the night, and it was also a blowout with what Florida State absolutely wiped Florida out of the building.
Yeah, Florida didn't shoot well, but they made up for it by not defending well. And Florida State just blew them out. And it kind of – I know on your bracketology show, Chad, you had Florida ahead of Florida State.
You read them wrong. You read them wrong. And that was Florida State better. Really?
No, I'm pretty sure it was them. Okay. But, I was kind of surprised. I left that game, and again, you can't read in – too much to one game, even if it's the only game that either team has played. But I'm now thinking Florida State's better than I thought, and that Florida isn't anywhere near as good.
I'll tell you, the ACC as a whole, it was kind of a funny because you have Duke did what they did. I saw a lot of the ACC teams in bye games kind of struggle a little bit early in their games, maybe even into the second half a little bit before they. I think they all won. I don't think any ACC teams lost, but the other most impressive ACC win. Stalika, that North Carolina, very nice road win at Wofford.
Yeah, and this was actually going to be a bit of a revenge game considering Carolina had actually lost to a pretty similar Wofford team the year before. Terriers actually did have a couple leads during the first half, but Carolina did end up winning by double figures, somewhat going away towards the end.
Yeah, and David, if for those of us that stayed up late, there are a couple of good late games. Western Kentucky, real good game against Washington. BYU gave Nevada a good game late last night, too.
For most of the game, they did. I think they had a lead at halftime, or maybe it was tied at halftime. That's BYU we're talking about. Yeah. And while Nevada did blow it open, it wasn't until the final couple of minutes. I'd say as late as the under four timeout, BYU was still right in there. Nevada just really shot the ball poorly. I was kind of surprised at how it that. And the other game you mentioned, I recall, Washington sprinted out to a big lead. Western Kentucky came back, then had a 9-point lead at the half, seemingly in control. And then Washington ended up winning by 18 by the time it was over. So seismic shifts in that game all the way throughout. Western Kentucky also dealing with what you might call off-the-court frustrations. Three different players getting arrested in three different incidents. It wasn't that they were all in one place at one time, and there was one incident where all three got arrested. No, it was three different days, all within the last 10 days. That could have bothered them a little bit.
A couple of near misses and upsets. Salika, Arizona State needed two overtimes to somehow pull out a game over Fullerton that they really should have lost, for example.
Yeah, I think our good friend John Rothstein over at CBS even had his typical epitome of brutality tweet that he ended up having to take down because Arizona State had forced overtime and extended it to double overtime, and they managed to survive their season opener.
Yeah,
same token, Fullerton was also a team that did make the NCAA tournament last year.
Right. Another Big West team, Cal State Northridge, gave New Mexico – it was at home, but they gave New Mexico a heck of a battle. Mark Godfrey's first game as head coach there at Northridge.
That was a fun one to watch. Just really not expecting much out of Northridge this year at all. Taking New Mexico to the wire. And the three-point shot that won the game was – what was it, about a 25-footer that banked in? I mean, it was way out.
It was in a tie game, so it wasn't the, but yes.
Yeah.
It was tied at the time.
Okay, yeah, but it was a very low percentage shot.
Yeah. I guess let's hit a couple of the upsets from last night. Then we'll talk about some of the stuff that happened here on Wednesday also, because we had a big game tonight. But a couple of the upsets – especially in the Atlantic 10 with George Mason, who, David, you thought was going to win the A-10. I thought they were going to finish like eighth in the conference. They lost at home to Penn.
I was big on George Mason. I don't think I was quite as big as you were, but I liked them as the top 40 team, and I thought they had a really good chance at getting inside the bubble, which they still could. Penn, we know Penn is really good in the Ivy League, and they may even be good beyond that. But if you're a top 40 team that's inside the bubble, you would expect them to be able to win at home against Penn, as good as we think that is. Not a good night for strength and conditioning coach Andy and Duran. Just kind of disappointing.
Oh, that was also a bit of an expensive win for the Quakers, because they ended up losing one of their – I believe it was a knee injury that cost them one of their best players. So he is going to be out the rest of the year.
Real unfortunate. Yeah, they lost him for the year.
Another A-10 team, George Washington, was up 22-0, I believe, over Stony Brook early. Found a way to blow the game. It was a game I wasn't even paying attention to. And so the next thing I knew, the game was in overtime, and I thought that the game was over way in the first half. So somehow, a miraculous comeback by the Seawolves. They get that big win. The upset of the night, though, let's hit this one. Baylor.
Yeah.
At home. To a Texas Southern team that had nobody left after Mike Davis left. The only person of note on the team was their new head coach, Johnny Jones. And he goes to Baylor and pulls off the upset.
Really big win. Yeah, shocking. And during the Under the Radar podcast, we were talking, not even in a disparaging way, just in a fair, critical way. Would the SWAC win 8 out of conference games? Well, they got one last night. That one was one of the bigger surprises of the night.
And it's also noteworthy to point out Texas Southern didn't even win a non-conference game last year until the NCAA tournament, and that was against NC Central.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely shocked. I mean, this was not the Texas Southern team that I thought we've had the last 5 or 6 years. This was a Texas Southern team I was picking to the middle of the bottom of the SWAC. So I'm going to have to amend that pick. Also, other big upset that maybe a lot of people missed, but Northeastern, we liked them a lot heading into this season, loses at home to Boston University, who was not among our top picks of the America East this year.
Well, yeah, well, Boston U in the Patriot League. Not among our top picks in the America East this year. Yeah, that's a very, very
– All right, I pulled the first Griggs
Neither was George Mason. Neither was Kentucky. All these teams not among our top picks in the America East this year. But anyway, yeah, what was particularly surprising about that game, and I was limited to my – I mean – it was kind of hard for me to watch it. I was trying to follow it as best I could. But Northeastern looked good all throughout the first half. It was never a blowout, but it looked like Northeastern was in control. And when they had a double-digit lead with about 10 minutes to go, as good as we thought they were and as where we thought Boston U would be in the Patriot League, you're just expecting them to sort of cruise on in. But they didn't. It was a really exciting game, a really sort of a rivalry game. Well, not sort of a rivalry game, and BU getting it done on the road.
So congrats to BU. Nice road win there. I guess the other kind of game of the night was the South Dakota State Grand Canyon game last night among Under the Radar. It's our Under the Radar portion of the show, I guess, here. But Sleeka, the Lopes gave the Jackrabbits a nice test out in South Dakota, but at the end of the day, South Dakota State did pull it out.
Yeah, that's probably going to end up being, I would say, more along the lines of a quad three win as far as South Dakota State, because when you're looking at wins at home, you're going to be looking at someone in that kind of 75 to 150 range, I would say.
Okay, so that's quad three, 75 to 150 at home?
Yeah, I think it's, it 1 through 25 or 35 as far as quadrant one, and then 35 to 75 as far as that second quadrant.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I don't know that Grand Canyon is a top 75 team. I think they're going to be more the 75 to 100 range at the end of the day. But yeah, they could get up there if they could run through
the crack. I was impressed with Grand Canyon. I know they didn't win. I was kind of expecting South Dakota State to run them out of the building, as good as I thought Grand Canyon would do in the WAC. South Dakota State is really good, and they're even better at home. And I think that South Dakota State's potentially top 40 good. And Grand Canyon went in there and they would fall behind and battle. I mean, they battled and they kept themselves in the game for much of it. I was kind of I came away from that thinking both these teams are really good, as opposed to, oh, well, Grand Canyon just didn't get it done.
Well, then let's turn our attention to the big games that came up here on Wednesday night. We're recording this around coming up on 10 o'clock at night. And much anticipated,
hugely.
It's been, I think, almost 100 years since these two teams played on campus in a regular season game, Ohio State and Cincinnati. The series is suddenly here, and Stalica, you're our Cincinnati guy. This was Cincinnati basketball, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you're wondering why we look like we were turning to stone earlier in the podcast, this game would probably be why. It was, I guess, shall we say, a little foretelling when Ohio State had a 3-2 lead as far as the first media timeout and ended up holding the Bearcats to 20 points around halftime. The final score did look a little more respectable, but Ohio State was never seriously challenged, and Chris Holtman was actually somewhat of a defensive guru over at Butler, and he's actually 3-0 against Mick Cronin now.
Yeah, the way I described this game to our esteemed colleague and friend, Kyle Lamb, was one team shot the ball poorly and another team shot the ball infinitely worse. I mean, it was just a rock fight, and it wasn't the defense was good. I don't want to say that the defense was awful, but it wasn't good defense as much as it was just bad basketball. And this is going to happen in November, like especially in the first week or in every team's first game or two. But it was kind of disappointing to – this was a game that at least me personally was really looking forward to. And to come out and just want to gouge out your eyes because of what you're watching, it was kind of disappointing.
Well, David, before I go on, is there any other games that have happened the first 2 days that you would like to discuss at this point? I think that covers most of the major teams, really.
Yeah, that covers most of the major ones. Not so much a team, but just kind of what a disappointing start to the season the A-10 has collectively had. I know you're not surprised. I was a little bit bigger on the A-10 and a little more hopeful when you looked at how many teams had key players returning and all that, and I was just expecting more. But for, you know, George Mason to lose at home to Penn, and for, you know, GW to kind of blow it like that, we just watched St. Bonaventure lose to Bucknell at home. And again, Bucknell, Penn, I know that these are good teams. We watch these teams all year. We have for years. But you can't like, when you're talking about how, well, Penn and Bucknell are decent programs, it's not that shocking to lose at home. Those aren't the kinds of excuses that the American is making, that the Big East is making, that the conferences that are as good as the A-10 wants to be are making. They need to win those games.
Well, David, I will take a little exception. I do think that Penn is one of the top teams in the Ivy League. Bucknell lost a ton. I picked them towards the middle, towards the bottom of the Patriot this year. This is going to be a very off year.
Okay,
for Bucknell,
so you're taking opinion. Exception, but furthering my point.
But furthering your point, I think you gave Bucknell too much credit right there.
Yeah.
But by the same token, these are not the type of games that, let's say, the Missouri Valley is going to be losing because
correct.
A lot is going to be expected out of teams like Loyola, Southern Illinois, Illinois State, for example.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we go through a few of the games that are coming up over the next next several days out through and on through this weekend? And I'm going to start with tomorrow night, Thursday night. Games worth watching. Okay, let's move on to Friday night.
Let's move on to we've got some good buy games tomorrow. It's redistribution week.
It's the third day of the season, and it may end up being the worst day in terms of games of the entire season coming up Thursday night. The best game might be Maine at Utah. Just leave it at that.
You might be right.
Some interesting games Friday night. Two big names, at least, Wichita State and Providence playing each other, although I think Providence is going to have the clear edge in this game.
Very clear.
One I'm looking at also, a big rivalry coming back here. It's a neutral court game, Texas and Arkansas.
Yeah, out in – is that game in China?
I think it's at Fort Bliss.
That's the Armed Forces class.
Yeah, that's right. The Pac-10 game is in China. Okay. Yeah.
North Carolina on the road again, this time at Elon, opening their new building. A game that is only going to be available for those that purchase a stream from Iowa State University, but Iowa State's hosting Missouri tomorrow, and I think two tournament-capable teams here.
Yeah, we'll be purchasing that. Just in case you're wondering. Okay.
There was also another late add to the SEC network, and that will be Washington headed down to the Plains to take on Auburn.
That's a big one on Friday. Two ranked teams. Washington just the nice win over Western Kentucky.
Washington at Auburn, a game I kind of circling here, David. UC Irvine at Texas A&M tomorrow night also.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Oh, if that one's tomorrow, then there's at least one good game.
Okay.
No, that's Texas A&M is playing the team of the people now. That game can't be tomorrow.
No, I'm sorry. That's Friday. Yeah, I'm talking about Friday. Yeah, they got tomorrow off, then Friday. Friday, UC Irvine at A&M. The late game Friday is that Pac-12 China game. That's Yale and Cal. If you want to stay up for it, you can. I'm not probably going to.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and guess we are not going to have the same hijinks around the China game that happened last year.
I don't know, but I kind of hope so. That was actually kind of fun. Bill Walton issued the greatest apology ever on the behalf of the human race.
Coming up Saturday, a game to look at late night now suddenly, which game that we would not have even been highlighting except what happened yesterday, Texas Southern at Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Can Johnny Jones do it again?
Right. If he does, he should just be named Coach of the Year right now.
Also coming up on Saturday evening, John, interesting, Illinois State's at Belmont.
Yeah, this would probably be a game that Illinois State would like to capitalize on as far as a possible quad one or quad two game as far as the net goes, but more likely quad one, especially if Illinois State hangs around the top 75.
And obviously that probably, I might miss a few games, which I apologize, but didn't read through every single game list. And a couple games though on Sunday, throw them out there. David, one I'm going to be looking at here Sunday afternoon, Southern Miss at SMU. I think that's a winnable game for Southern Miss.
It might be. SMU a little bit on the rebound. Southern Miss really on the rise. Doc Sadler, who we've always liked, doing a great job at Southern Miss and doing it very much unlike his predecessor, the right way.
And in the evening, Sunday evening, pair of games, John, Florida State on the road at Tulane and Vanderbilt at USC.
That should be a game that Florida State win, but certainly can't overlook the alligator hole that's Tulane. But I would probably say more likely than not USC wins at home, but you can't always trust their body of work at home.
I guess on that note, that's most of everything. There's two other games I do want to quickly mention here that have gone that were played. Let me start with tonight. First of all, I want to give a big old shout out, David, to the Texas San Antonio Roadrunners. Just lost tonight at home to St. Edward's.
Oh God! Oh,
now St. Edward's is not a new Division I team. They are not a Division I team.
They are not a Division I team.
Also, I want to talk about a game that end by talking about a game that happened last night. And give a congratulations to the Florida A&M Rattlers. FAMU went to Jacksonville, not that far to Jacksonville, went to Jacksonville and won on the road. Did a little research after the game. If you discount games against transitional teams, wins that they had against Kennesaw, North Florida, and Winston-Salem when they were transitional, this was Florida A&M's first Division I road win out of conference since November of 2006, 12 years.
That's some trivia right there.
They've won road games against conference foes. They've won them against these transitional teams, but a true full D1 non-conference foe, 12 years, but congratulations FAMU. The streak is over. They won a game. David, are they in your bracket?
They may be as the MEAC champs, because I don't think anybody in the MEAC has done more than that right now.
Well, so
from a merit, from a bracket that's going to be built based on current merit, you kind of got to put them in.
All right. Well, any other thoughts from either one of you, John? How about you for any other thoughts for tonight, or anything else we want to discuss, or who else? What else we want to do here? I don't know.
Well, I'll look at the game between Marshall and Eastern Kentucky. While Marshall ended up running away with that game at Eastern Kentucky, at least one lucky Colonel fan actually ended up hitting a half-court shot around halftime and I believe ended up winning a car or some lease from a local dealership. So it's good to know there's at least some lucky shooters in that crowd.
Yeah.
David, quick score update as we record this. Savannah State is within 10 of Texas A&M. Save the Tigers, team of the people.
Our team of the people. This, if they were to win this game, and we're not expecting that they will, but if they were, holy crap, what a long way it would go towards saving the Tigers. A couple bullet points here. North Alabama played their first ever game as a Div 1 team in a loss at Samford last night. I had some other bullet points, but I already forgot.
Why are you trying to remember your other ones? Cal Baptist doesn't play till Friday night, but they will be playing their first game as well here.
Yeah. So that was there. Oh, yeah. And then the team of the people game. And then while we're recording this, a little bit of a surprise. Well, not a little bit, a hugely surprising development. Bakersfield up 9 at TCU, a TCU team that we thought would contend for a protected seed. Bakersfield, we thought, might be in the middle of the whack, but looking really good, just really outplaying TCU in this first half. Now, we'll see if the Horned Frogs get it together in the second half, and this is a non-issue. But right now, that would be a huge story. They would be, if this were to hold up, we'd have our first ranked team losing at home.
Well, David, that kind of goes to what I mentioned at the top of the show with some of the ACC teams. They kind of played with their food in the first halves also yesterday. Even Virginia didn't run away with their game against, Towson yesterday. It was, a lot of these teams, this seems to happen in that first game that maybe you come out a little stale in that first half. So I think at the end of the day, you're going to see TCU run away with this game, but I could be wrong.
Yep. Or as the puppet would say, this would be the toy pop gun opening to the season.
Yeah.
But I guess on that note, we're done.
Yeah.
All right, so get the hell out of here.
Get the hell out. We'll see you Monday.
We'll see you Monday. Let me just do that real quick. Beginning Monday, we're going to go into our regular schedule here at Hoops HD. We are going to be doing our Hoops HD reports Monday nights. They'll be posted either late Monday or Tuesday mornings. Wednesday night, late Wednesday nights, we'll be recording Under the Radar. You can watch them on Thursday mornings. And check out all the other tabs of the website up there. We've got all kinds of great information. Yeah, everything's up and running for this season, correct?
Yep, it is.
Joby's Nitty Gritty Ratings will be up there pretty soon. All the tournament tabs are up there. They
may already be up there. I don't know. Joby, he gets them up pretty early.
Yeah, Joby.
Yeah.
But on that note, I'm Chad Sherwood. He's John Stalica. That's a puppet. We'll talk to you again real soon.